Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Shalom, sis. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome again to another episode of the Sound of the Living Water Radio Show. I'm Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight we have the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class coming to you straight out of Peoria, Illinois, with our brother that teaches from the Spirit of Meekness and Charity and Bible Study Class, Isaiah Brown. And today, reading for brother
I'm so sorry. It was a misunderstanding. It was a text. It was a text, I think. The text was sent wrong. He was asking for a reading because he knew I was doing a lesson tonight. I just got off. I just got off and was just letting you know that, you know, things are still the same. It was a text app and it was a wrong text app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is brother on? Brother McCormick, can you read for your brother Isaiah Brown?
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, praise
Amen.
God. Praise God. Well, tonight's precept is hope never assume.
Amen.
What? Hope never assume.
Amen.
Okay, just right there, and they just got your synapses popping off. Holla, gotta love that. Nehemiah chapter 13:14. Remember me, O God, concerning this, and write not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the officers thereof. 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O God, concerning this also. Spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy and for the wood offering at the time appointed. And for the first fruits, remember me, oh my God, for good.
Amen.
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 So with that being said, we're going to turn this over to our brother Isaiah Brown.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I am so, so sorry, Nakomi. My bad, bro. You know, when you text fast, and then you might, you know, like how you got the correction thing on your phone, sometimes, you know, it said, hey, it said, do you need a reader? But basically what we're trying to say is I need a reader. You know, and the whole thing, we would start talking stuff like that. I guess, well, it wasn't what I thought it was. You know, so everything is going to be the exact same way as normal. And I'm sorry, you guys, I am running a little late. I have just been a very, very long day. Fun day, great day, but it's been very, very long. All right, all praises. So I really want to apologize to you, Nakomi. It was an accident, and thank you for being able to read for me tonight. All right. Hey, grace and peace, family. My name is Brother Isaiah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm doing a precept tonight, and it's called We Hope. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, 1 second. Okay, Olivia, go ahead, baby. Got some made this girl dinner. It's hot. Hold on 1 second. All right, the name of the precept is called Hope Never Assumed. One more time. The name of the precept is called Hope Never Assumed. It's because it's one thing we have to realize in these, you know, in your everyday life or when you call yourself a servant of God. One thing you never want to do is automatically assume you straight or never assume that you got everything right. And how our life is going nowadays and the battles we go with, the battles that we fight with by the day to day, you know, all we have is hope. All we have to do, what we have to understand is that whatever the Lord put in our heart to do, do it with all your might. Do the best you can to keep the commandments. You know, do the law to the best of your ability. And as soon as you finish doing what the Most High God told you, I mean, have you to do, then all you have is hope. All we really have is hope. We don't have the power or the latitude to automatically think that we get an automatic ticket to the kingdom, because a lot of us read Paul's writing and use the scriptures that Paul wrote. You know, he said that, you know, he finished his course, there's a crown waiting for him. But we got to understand, man, Paul was healing people with handkerchiefs. And the things that Paul was doing, you know, we don't see ourselves doing that, and how faithful he was for the Most High God. And, you know, and definitely when the Lord called him, what, didn't they blind him for so long before he even started his mission? But the whole thing is that as being a servant of God, and definitely in our modern time, man, all, matter of fact, just in general, everybody, all we have is hope. To do the best we can to walk this life, to walk this walk, do the best you can, and just hope for salvation. That's all we got. But if you all back and be like, well, I know I'm making it to the kingdom, I know I'm straight, then what's the purpose of even giving that 100 if you know you're straight? Because a lot of people like to use these words, oh, you know you good, oh, you know you straight, you know you gonna make it, you know you Israel. But nobody know. Nobody know but the Most High God. Assuming that we it and we got it, why not humble ourselves and hope to the very end? So that's what the precept is going to be about tonight. Somebody call sisters to please cover your head, and all brothers please uncover your head. And we're going to face towards the east, and let's pray in. And then after I finish praying, then Brother Nakoma will read whatever the Father put on his heart. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank thee, O Lord and King, and praise thee, O God, my Savior. I do give praise unto thy name, for thou art my defender and helper, and hast preserved my body from destruction and from the snare of the slanderous tongue and from the lips of that forged lie, and hast been my helper against my adversaries, and hast delivered me according to the multitude of thy mercies and greatness of thy name. from the teeth of them that were ready to devour me, and out of the hands of such as sought after my life, and from the manifold afflictions which I had, from the choking of fire on every side, and from the midst of the fire which I kindled not, from the depth of the belly of hell, from an unclean tongue, and from lying words, by an accusation to the king from an unrighteous tongue, my soul drew near even unto death. My life was near to hell beneath. Then compassed me on every side, and there was no man to help me. I looked for the secure of men, but there was none. Then thought I upon thy mercy, O Lord, and upon the acts of old, how thou deliverest such as wait for thee, and savest them out of the hand of the enemy. Then lift I up my supplication from the earth and pray for deliverance from death. I called upon the Lord, the Father of my Lord, that he would not leave me in the days of my trouble and in the time of the proud when there was no help. I will praise thy name continually and will sing praise with thanksgiving, so my prayer was heard. I have read Ecclesiasticus chapter 51, verses 1 through 11. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Well, as usual on a Thursday night, it's time for us to take these scriptures off the shreds. And you know, as usual, pure razor blades of lemon juice. And one more time, just in case we have any newcomers abroad, the name of the precept is called Hope Never Assume. You know, let's hope for this thing. Let's hope for everlasting life. Don't assume you get the, you all. You, don't assume that you already have your crown prepared for you, because you just don't know that. Anything can happen. Anything. And if the Lord chastised his servants, a man after his own heart, and if he chastised the meekest man that ever walked the earth, if he chastised them prophets, what? How do you think our chastisement would be, or the punishment that could lay on us if we fall off and drop off the ball? So the whole thing is that when you doing this thing, man, you got to hope. You know, so hope that you got it. You know, so hope that the Lord leave you a spot in the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? You want to hope for them things. You just don't want to automatically think that you're straight, because a lot of us think we're straight. You know, a lot of us think just because you go to on the Sabbath on time, you know you're straight. You know you got a little bit of knowledge, or like I usually say, you perfected your elders' lessons. You know, a lot of us think that that's it. You know what I'm saying? As long as we're doing that, we're straight. But there's so many things in the Bible that the Lord, he wants us to do that we really don't see, or we really don't hear too much reading of it. But in all, being a servant of God, we understand that the Lord told us love one another, love him first, love the brethren, and whatever the Most High God put in our heart to do, do it with your might. And just hope you may get in or you may not get in. Because we're so messed up in the head, it's ridiculous, all of us. We all coming up short. Nobody has that put in that position to be like, I'm straight, I know I'm making it to the kingdom. We don't want to be like that. We want to hope and hope that God allow us into his kingdom. So what we're going to do first is go into the book of Nehemiah chapter 13. Is because this brother did a lot of things for the kingdom. You know, and this man stuck out real good for the Most High God. But after he did his job, was he like, man, I know I'm gone. I know I'm making it to the kingdom. I know I'm straight. Well, let's look and see how he approached the Lord with his prayer. Well, let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 13. The book of Nehemiah chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 14, and then we're going to skip. And when you get it, Brother Nicole, go ahead and read, bro.
I think Nicole may have muted himself out.
Oh, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof.
So he's not talking in pride, saying, I know I got this. You know what I'm saying? He's praying to the God. He's praying with some respect. He put some respect on Christ. He ain't like, well, I know I did this. I know I did that. So I know I'm making to the kingdom. No, no. He's saying, Lord, remember me, oh, my God, concerning this. And wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the office thereof. Now skip down to verses 22, and when you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
22. And I commanded the Levites that they should clean themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy.
So you see, now this is how you want to approach the Most High God. This is how we want our hearts to be. We want to be like Nehemiah and how he's approaching the Lord. You start coming to the Lord, some of you know, well, I know I did all this. I know I'm made to the kingdom. I know I'm straight. No, he, man, he's coming with fear and trembling. You know, I'm coming up short. But to keep me in your mercy, though. Remember the things I did for the Levites. Remember how I did with the office. Remember my good deeds, Lord. Remember that stuff. And show me some mercy. Because that's all we got is mercy. We hope for this thing, but depending on if you make it to his kingdom or not, it's mercy. Grace and mercy is going to determine if we make it to his kingdom or not. Because we're just not clean enough. But the Lord, he is honorable. I mean, the Lord, but what the Most High God do, well, one thing I know that he do is this right here. He is quick to remember the work we put in the vineyard. So the things that the Lord allow us to, the things that the Lord put in our heart for us to do, what we can do is do that with all our might and humbly come to the Lord and ask the Lord to remember our work in the vineyard. But don't automatically assume you're going to get something. You got to come with mercy. You got to come with a broken and a contrite spirit. You just can't be coming up to him like, well, this and that. No, man. I mean, what you do, like the Book of Job said, I mean, what you doing for me? You know, if you do good for another man, you help him out. And if you do something wrong, you're just messing yourself up. But what are you doing for me? The earth is my footstool. Where is the house you made for me? So we need to learn how to humble ourselves now in the eyesight of the Most High God and to understand that all we have is grace and mercy. And the things that he put in my heart to do, ask the Lord to remember my work in the vineyard and stay humble with the Most High God. Now skip down to verse 31.
31. And for the wood offering at times appointed and for the first fruits, remember me, oh my God, for good.
Amen. So I mean, that's how we all want to come to Most High God. Hey, Lord, remember me, oh my God, for good. Remember the work I did in the vineyard, Lord. You know, hey, I tried to fight a good fight. You know, I messed up a lot, a whole lot, but I still tried to do what was right. It'd be rough sometimes. But Lord, but just remember my work that I did for you. Remember the work in the vineyard that I did for you. And to keep me in your mercy. Amen. Now let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. In the book of Psalms, chapter 119, and we're going to read just one verse. We're going to read verses 166. The book of 119, verses 166. And when you get it, Brother McCombie, go ahead and read, bro.
Psalms 119 and 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments.
Hey, after you have done the work, all you have is hope. You done the commandments? That's good. He required out of us. Do it to the last speck of your breath. But the same point of time is that during your lifetime or even doing them, you're hoping for this thing. So all you got is hope. And matter of fact, just think about it this way. What I did was is just did a little searching on this word hope. And it's a noun. So when you're hoping, right, you're hoping. Hope is just, it's a desire, wish, aim, goal, plan, dream, daydream. And they also had in the verb, I couldn't resist, I had to grab this too. It means expect, anticipate, and want. We daydream about making it to the kingdom all day and night. Doesn't mean we're going to get it, but we want it. So we hope for it. That's our goal. That's our plan, to make it to the kingdom. Brother Nakomi bring his lesson every Wednesday and just say, you know, he let us know all the time, that's my goal. That's my plan. You know, that's what he's aiming for. And the same thing what we do with Brother Joe and stuff. You know, we aim, and all the brothers and sisters online, we try to aim for this stuff. Because that's our goal, and our desire is to make it to the kingdom. But it doesn't mean we're going to get that. We can hope to get it and do the best we can. And through this walk, you hope for everlasting life. And let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And like I said, this is a short lesson. It's not that much. It's a really small lesson today. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And what we're going to do is we're going to read verses 24 and verses 25.
First Corinthians chapter 9, 24, 25?
Yes, sir.
Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown.
Amen. So we got to run our ass off. Everybody that the Lord has opened their eyes to, we better run our ass off. I'm talking about like we are the only ones that's getting this prize. No, we got to hope for salvation. But while we're hoping, boy, we run in full speed, hoping for that prize. You know, it's no guarantee you're going to win that race. So that's why you want full speed. And just to up your strength up a little bit, know if you win, you're going to get that prize. So that's why we got to run. And we running, man, that's just us just doing everything in our willpower to serve the Most High God and understand that if we do this thing right and we find grace and mercy in the Lord's sight, then we can obtain everlasting life. But it doesn't mean that you're going to get it now. You see what I'm saying? You got to work for it and you got to hope for it. And at that point in time, you may or may not get it. So that's why we hope to get it, by doing everything in our might to get it done. We got to. Let's go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. And all we want is verses 25 and 26.
Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord.
Quietly. Wait for the salvation of the Lord. So you look at verse 25, it says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So you got to hope for this thing, but the book is also telling you to quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, because you just don't know. So what you can do is you can wait for him, you can mind your business, you can humble yourself, and you can do all you can to do as a servant of Most High God. Don't assume. It's not good to assume, but patiently and quietly wait for him. So why do you think it's not good for us to assume? Let's find out. Even though this is not a part of the crown we're trying to obtain, but what we're going to do now is read someone who assumed something and turned around and didn't get it. So let's go into the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And we got a little bit of reading during this one, bro. We're going to look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And we're going to read, we might be reading the whole chapter. Let me see. I'm turning to it right now. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And we're going to pick it up at verses 1. And we're going to read verses 1. We're reading the whole chapter. And I cut you off necessary, bro. So pay close attention to what we're about to read. Pay really close attention. Matter of fact, hold up. I'm sorry. That's why I look like that. This is the next one, y'all. I'm sorry. This is the next one. We need to go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. My bad. My mistake, y'all. Let's go into the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. And we're going to read about people who like to assume something and just might not end up being that. So let's go in the book of 1 Kings chapter 1. And Brother Nakomi, we're going to read verses 1, and then we're going to skip. So we're in the book of 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to skip. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 Kings 1 and 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat.
All right, so you know it's about time David passed on and take a nap with his fathers. You know, and we all know when you pass away, then it's time for the reign of the next king. Skip down to verse 5, and we're going to read verses 5 through 13. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Verse 5. O Niger, the son of Haggai, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Re, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not in Adonijah, not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep, oxen, and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou that heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggai, doeth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon, and go get thee in unto David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doeth Adonijah reign?
Right, so now let me look at that. Now, Adonijah, now he's something else right now. Now, for one, you know, who told you to even exalt yourself anyway? And to automatically assume you got this position coming. He assumed he had this crown next, gathered all his men together, slew his sheep for no reason, and made a feast. But let's add more to this story. So the word got back to Solomon's mother, and what's his name? And Nathan told her, "Hey, you go to the king and tell him this about what's going on, and about how you said that Solomon, thy son, shall reign." So what we're gonna do is skip down to verses 16, and you can read verses 16 through 25. Verses 16 through 25, and you get it. Go ahead and read.
16. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king, and the king said, "What wouldest thou?" And she said unto him, "My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord, the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab, the captain in of the host, but Solomon, thy servant, hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord, the king, after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord, the king, shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders." And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, "Behold, Nathan the prophet." And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, as thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. For he is gone down this day, and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah."
All right, so now this story is getting really interesting. Now let's get down to the punch. Get right down to verses 29, and we're going to read verses 29 through 31, and we'll be done.
29. And the king swore and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever."
Oh, so we're not dealing with the hope on this part. We're just dealing with people who like to assume. You see how quick that just took a left side. But this is what happens when you automatically assume something.
You automatically assume you had something, but then turn around and you didn't get it. So my whole thing of the reason why I read the story is that don't automatically assume something because you just don't know. You don't know. Because as long as you don't know, you're going to do everything in your willpower to make sure you get your walk right. You even do what Nehemiah did. Because I know we all walk in fear, and that's why we constantly stay focused in the vineyard. And definitely had a little blessed our blog talk show. We got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's a blessing from the Most High God. Because we constantly running and trying to do this thing right. Because we understand that as long as we hope for it, hey, if you already know you got it, then what's the purpose of you trying? But if you run for this thing, then, hey, you might get it. But get back with your story. It's just don't assume that you're going to get something because you just don't know. Apply that to your life. We just don't know and don't assume. So that's what we get up out of that. So now let's go into the book of 2 Chronicles. Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles. In the book of 2 Chronicles, and now we're going to read verses 1 through 26. Chapter 26, well, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and we're going to read verses 1 through 23. So now what we're going to do now is we're about to read about Uzziah. You know, while he hoped he did a great job, but when you assume that you got a spot into the kingdom, you kind of slack off. Because then at times you might not be that servant that the Most High God made you to be because you think you're straight. So let's read this story and understand this story, and let's get an understanding on why we need to hope to the very peak of our breath until the Lord give us our rest. This is why we need to hope. And again, we're about to read why we should not assume something. Because when you assume, of course, it's obvious you think you're straight. You made it to the kingdom. But let's see what happens when you think like that. We're in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read, and I might cut you off if necessary.
2 Chronicles chapter 26, starting at the 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecholiah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the day of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Gabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Jerubbaal, and the Menims, and the Amorites gave gift to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley. gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and dig many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plain, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jehiel the scribe. And Maaseiah, the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains, the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and haubergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers upon the bulwark to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And as Uriah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprous even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And as Uriah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, him himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, because a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the king. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned.
Now, check this out right here. You know, it's like if you automatically think you straight, I mean, if you assume that you're straight, if you think that you've done all that you can, then what happened? Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Let me read that again. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So when he humbled himself, and when he hoped for salvation, when he hoped to do the things right in the eyesight of the Lord, he was straight. But as soon as you start to get strong and get that pride in your heart, you know, and you assume that you automatically straight, you can't mess up no more. then everything happened for his destruction. Now, this man did a lot of things, even a husband there. He did a lot of things, and it seemed like he was really good at building. He done a lot of good things for the Lord. But when he passed away, when you read verse 23, it says, so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. So you mean to tell me after all this stuff that Uzziah did, the people remember him as just being a leper? And they said, well, he did many great, wonderful things for the Most High God. The thing that they remembered when he passed away was that he is a leper. That's about it. So what we need to understand is that you got to humble yourself. Don't assume. Just do the best you can and hope for the salvation of the Most High God. And with this hoping, hope to your very last breath and try to run this race straight. I mean, run this race right and with all your might. Because it's one thing, and it's another reason why we should not just be assuming that we're just going to get salvation like that. You know, we hope for it, do your thing right, but just don't assume that you got that, because it's a reason why we shouldn't assume that we just got it. Let's go into the book of Isaiah chapter 64. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. The book of Isaiah chapter 64. And all we want is verse 6.
Isaiah 64 and 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away.
Hey, you know, our righteousness ain't nothing but filthy rags. So why are we assuming? Why not hope and do the best we can and come and do as Nehemiah did? He came in humility. He did a lot of great things, but he was so scared. He feared the Lord so much that, man, he said, hey, I'm not even, yeah, remember this work you gave me, Lord, the work that you gave me, remember that and keep me in your mercy. Because remember, we ain't number filthy rags, and that's how the Lord see our righteousness. So we don't have that, we don't have no reason to be pumping our chest all up like we high and mighty. And we know we straight. We making it to the kingdom. We don't know that. Humble yourself and hope for salvation. Now let's go into the book of Romans chapter 3. You'll say it here again. The book of Romans chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up in verse 10.
Romans chapter 3 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 3 and 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understand.
Go ahead.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God.
Amen. Matter of fact, read verse 12.
Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
So now you see how bad we need the Most High God's grace and mercy. Because you go back up to verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. So if the book is telling us this, then that means we have to really humble ourselves and we have to run full speed for this race. And even after we have done everything that the Most High God put in front of our faces, all we have is the hope that the Lord will allow us into his kingdom. We only have the hope. Do the best you can. Hope to the end. Let's move along. Let's get the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. All right, we're in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 18 and 19.
1 Peter 4, verse 18?
Yes, sir.
18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
And even after that, all we get is hope. And to hope that the Most High God give us a spot in his kingdom. But we go back up to verse 18. It says that if the righteous scarcely be saved, so if we're scarcely saved, then why are we assuming we already got this position in the kingdom? And I think Joe reminded us that that word scarcely means difficult. It's going to be difficult for a servant of a boat. It's going to be difficult for us to make into the kingdom because we just don't know. So that's why if the Lord gave us work to do, man, we need to do this work with all our might. And don't assume that you automatically straight and you got a spot into the kingdom because you just don't know, because the book just told us the righteous is scarcely saved. So the righteous is scarcely saved. That means our hearts should be dropping because we may or may not get this. But if the Lord allowed us to get, if the Lord gave us a job, just do that job the best way you can. And if the Lord bless you in that position, just ask so to remember your work in the vineyard and to humble yourself and not to automatically assume that you got this spot coming because you just don't know. So let's be mindful of that. So now let's go on to the last spot. I know this was a short one, but hey, it was necessary. Let's go on to the last spot. Let's go in the book of Isaiah chapter 26. We're in the book of Isaiah chapter 26. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4. And we will be it. This will be it.
Isaiah 26, starting at the 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
Amen, 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 amen. Verse 3 said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. So the book is telling us if we mind our business and keep our mind on him and trust in him, then he'll keep us a perfect peace. So, but the whole thing is that you want to hope for everlasting life. You want to run this race right. You want to always ask the Lord to remember you work in the vineyard. You're going to want to humble yourself. And to always keep your mind on the Most High God and keep your mind on him so we can keep you in perfect peace. So never assume. Hope to the very last peak of your breath. And whatever the Father put in your heart to do, do it with all your might. I thank y'all for your time.
Amen.
Ghost, Jew.
Amen. Father's mercy.
Great precept. Great
yeah.
precept. Great precept. You know, it's not necessary that you got to drop a 2-hour piece every time you draw one unless the Spirit give you one. Ain't no reason this or that. It's going to be a short due. Sometimes it's just be what the doctor ordered.
Amen.
Shoot,
right.
man.
You
man,
mean,
it may
I was
be a long
work, I was
for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Huh?
Yeah, I was at work eating my Philly cheesesteak when I put the lesson together. and just worked on
praise
a little bit.
God.
Yeah, amen.
It may have been a long week for everybody, man, and that'd be just what you need, man. Exactly that. You know, if I could say this, man, let me see. Find that script quickly. I think it's in Romans. And it says, let me see. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm in Revelation. I guess Revelation is looking like Romans to me. let me see. What is that? See, it says, nope, this is not it, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? You see, so I guess I'm looking for that other piece where he said hope is the, but that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you have hope, then why are you tripping? You see, it goes right back to the tenor of the piece, man, you know. It goes right back to the title of the lesson, which is awesome, man. Hope never assume. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you got faith, you're not assuming anything. that's the script I was looking for. That's the script. I think that's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Is that it? You found it, Ray? You found it yet? Okay. It says, hope never assumes. I looked at that precept. I'm like, whoa. And you don't. Man, if you got faith, you ain't hoping for nothing. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes,
Hebrews 11 and 1. There it is. That's the definition of both. Hebrews 11 and 1. Lord, had me read that Romans chapter 8, though. But it's all in the same thing. You know, it says it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. How do you have evidence of something that don't exist? That's like a super oxymoron. That's, hey, man, it's an angel over there. How you know? You can't see it, but I know it's there. Can't see it? Nope, but it's there. How you know? Because God said it. How you know? Because God said it. How you know? Because God said it.
Amen.
That's where I'm at, Jew. Big ups on the piece, man. Big ups. Big us. Timely.
Amen.
Amen. I yield the mic.
Amen.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro. Hey, man.
You
did good, bro. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Great lesson. Like I said, no one should assume anything. I say it all the time that I just understand the word. I'm not better than no one. I'm hoping for the kingdom just like everyone that believes in God and Christ.
Amen.
And don't saying, just like when you read, he said none of us is doing it. Like I'm saying, it doesn't mean that none of us is trying, but none of us is doing it at the level that we should. None of us is coming at God at the level that we should be coming at God. That's even when I read about, like reading last night, reading about the Maccabees and Hanukkah, how great their zeal for keeping the commandment was, okay? And saying, and that's going to even include them. Ain't none of us coming the way that we're supposed to. But you also brought some Bible code in your lesson, though, when you was in Second Chronicles, chapter 26, and the 1.
Uh-huh.
It reads, verse 1, then when all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16, 1 and 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'm going to drop down to verse 3. 16 years was Uzziah when he began to reign. That's 16 again. That's 7. And he reigned 52 years. 7. The age of Lamech, which is 21, which is 21, which is 3, which is the father.
Amen.
So this is a father situation, but this is the age of Lamech. 16 is 7. 16 is 7, 52, which is the how many weeks is in a year, is 7. 7, 7, 7.
Amen. Mm.
the age of our forefather Lamech. The father Lamech is the father of Noah, right? Yeah, father of Noah.
Yep.
And you know he's the elect. He was the ninth person, so he's the elect. So this is also elect. With that I yield the mic.
Not bad, bro.
Bible codes. I was thinking about it, but to be honest, I was thinking about Bible code at work. I didn't have a clue that it was in his lesson. Thank you so much, McComey. But I was just thinking about it at work. I was like, man, you come up with some Bible codes, man. It was like, you know, I feel like Job. It's like, you know, certain things I just can't. I love to hear them, but man, that's something that the Lord gave to you, bro, man. That's a beautiful thing. And thank you for bringing your output in on that too. Hey, Sister Leia.
Shalom, family. Shalom.
Any more questions or comments? Is there a closing comment for the precept tonight, bro?
Well, just as usual, you know, don't assume. You know, whatever the Father put in your heart, do it with your might. Do it with your might. And just hope for salvation. You know, hope for salvation, hope for the crown, you know. But don't, no matter what the Lord bless you with, or if he bless you with a multitude, that's why we read the book of Uzziah. The Lord blessed sin with multitudes. But when he passed away, what did they remember? It was a leaper. To show that don't ever put yourself in a position to think that you're straight. That you get this whole thing down packed and you know you make it to his kingdom. Because we're going to be woefully mistaken if we get that mindset. So all I'm saying is that don't assume that you got this thing right. Just do everything in your might to walk this walk right. The Lord blessed you. And if the Lord blessed you with talent, use your talents. And don't assume. Do your part. And humble yourself in the eyesight of the Most High God. Now, you're the mic with that.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to say, man, great, great precept. Great precept, brother, and great reading, Brother Nakom.
Amen. Thank you.
Out of the Nation of Peace, out of Minneapolis. And great job on that. Just want to say, hey, once again, great lesson, great precept. Want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Sounds of Living Waters. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bibles.
Read your Bibles, everyone. Time appointed.
Time appointed.
Shalom.
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 Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Preach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the most high lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.